Good morning.
Welcome to St. Paul's today. If you are here for the first time or you're fairly new, I would bid you a special welcome and hope that you would stick around after the service to join us for some tea or coffee down at Campbell Hall, down at that end of the building. That would be great. And if you would fill out a connect card so that we know who you are and can connect with you later on, that would also be fabulous. And for all of you, you all get extra points for being here on the second snow Sunday in a row. This is just, I'm going to talk to God about this, and that snow on should be on a Monday, right? Where kids get stay. No, well, depends if you're a parent with little kids. I know. It is good to be together, though, and to worship God together. We do have a few announcements. This evening at 5 o'clock, the Family Fellowship will be meeting for some chili and some board games, and you are encouraged to come out and be a part of that. If you have questions, you can speak to Pastor Tammy. She's at the back of the sanctuary at the moment. We also have an Alpha Life group starting up tomorrow evening. It's not going to be doing the whole Alpha course, but parts of it. And if you are interested in taking part in that, you can speak to Beverly Troop or to Bob McKenzie, or you could just show up tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And the serve team is to meet on Wednesday evening from 7 to 9, and that is if you serve on Sunday morning, either as a greeter, an usher, a welcomer, a check-in person for the kids, or tea, coffee, hospitality person, you're asked to be here on Wednesday evening for a time of training, but also a time of really understanding how important your role is. Tammy and I were talking about this past week, and she made something twig in my mind that when somebody comes through the door, if they've never been in a church before, this could be an answer to 20 years worth of prayers, right? That somebody is coming through the door and they're terrified about being here. And so the role that you play as somebody who welcomes and provides is a really vital role for them and for the church. So thank you for that. And also, last week being a snow day, we had probably a little bit fewer people than we have at the moment. But I did start a new series of sermons, so if you want to catch the first one, you can find that on our website and on the sermons page. You can check out last week's sermon as well. The other announcements I will leave with you. Let's prepare to worship God. The Lord calls us to come together from wherever we are, from whatever is going on in our lives, the joys and the sorrows, to come together to worship. And worship is a gift. Worship is an opportunity for us to correct our perspective on life and reality as we focus ourselves on the living God. Let us worship Him now.
Thank you.
I did neglect to mention in the announcements that we were having some problems with the heat this morning. So if it's cooler than usual, there's a reason for that. We have paid the bills, but you may need to like scooch together a little bit to stay warm. Or while we're singing the hymns, moving helps, you know, to keep you warm. So that's allowed as well. Let's pray together. Our holy, loving, almighty, awesome God, we gather in your presence to acknowledge you as God, as Lord of all, to celebrate the fact that you are the creator of all that exists, that in Jesus Christ you are the Savior, that you came to this world as a human being in Jesus, to live for us, to die for us on the cross, and to rise again from the dead, all so that we could be forgiven, all so that we could be saved, all so that we could be yours now and forever. And you are the God who is present with us in this place. And we worship you because of that, that you are with us always by your Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit, we adore you. We thank you. And we worship you for all that you are, all that you have done for us, and all that you continue to do. Bless us with your grace, and we pray that you would give us your mercy and forgive our sins in Jesus, that you would heal our brokenness in Jesus, and that you would make us new in Jesus, that we should live for you this day and all the days to come. Our God, all these prayers we offer in Jesus' name as we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word.
Today's responsive reading is Psalm 3. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me?
Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him.
But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high.
I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain.
I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me.
I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side.
Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked.
From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you desire to make your will known to us. And you do so through your word, through the Bible. And so we pray that you would open your word to us, that you would speak to us through the Bible, through your Holy Spirit, that we would know your will, that we might live your will, we ask, in Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we are reading from, or we're continuing to read from, the Old Testament book of Job. We're reading Job chapter 4, verses 1 to 21, a longish reading. Let us hear God's word. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "If someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumbled. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now trouble comes to you, and you are discouraged. It strikes you, and you are dismayed. Should not your piety be your confidence, and your blameless ways your hope? Consider now, who, being innocent, has ever perished? There were the upright. Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they perish. At the blast of his anger, they are no more. The lions may roar and growl, yet the teeth of the great lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it amid disquieting dreams in the night when deep sleep falls on people. Fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes and I heard a hushed voice. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can even a strong man be more pure than his maker? If God places no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth? Between dawn and dusk, they are broken to pieces. Unnoticed, they perish forever. Are not the cords of their tent pulled up so that they die without wisdom? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How are you with tears? Don't worry, it is not my intention to try and make you cry today. I just am wondering how you are with tears, how comfortable you are with your own tears, how comfortable you are crying. Again, not talking about public display, just even home alone. How comfortable are you with someone else's tears? If you're sitting with someone and they begin to weep, how comfortable are you with that? It's likely that not many of us, if any of us, are completely, totally comfortable with tears. Have you ever apologized to someone because you've cried? Have you ever had someone apologize to you because they cried? How are you with tears? Today we continue our study looking at the book of Job, and we crank it up a bit today. And we look at not only how we deal with our own tears, but we look at how we respond to others' tears, how we respond to despair. As mentioned last week, the story in the book of Job happens mostly in the first two chapters and the last half of chapter 42 at the end of the book. And the rest is all dialogue and monologue. It's actually a series of monologues that are kind of a dialogue. And there's a pattern that repeats itself several times throughout the book. Three of Job's friends come to him, and they speak in turn, and Job responds to each one after they have spoken. So the cycle repeats itself again. It starts with Eliphaz speaking, and Job responds. And then Bildad speaks, Job responds. Then Zophar speaks, and Job responds. And that's one cycle, and that repeats itself a few times through the rest of the book. But we're not going that far into the book today. In the first two chapters of the story, we read that Job lost everything. He lost his children, he lost all of his wealth, and then he lost his health. Destitute and covered with sores from head to foot, Job sat in ashes on the ground, scraping at the sores on his body with a piece of broken pottery. Three of Job's friends learned of what happened to him, and they came together with the express purpose of going to Job to support him and help him in his grief. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Job's three friends wanted to help. And when they saw him, they were deeply moved at his circumstances and how he was feeling. And they reacted graciously and just sat with him in silence for a week. And then Job broke his silence. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, "May the day of my birth perish and the night that said a boy is conceived. That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it." Job cursed the day he was born and the hour of his conception. He wished that he had never been born, that he had died at birth, or that his mother had miscarried. Such was the depth of his suffering that he cried out these curses upon his own life. He didn't address himself to his friends, but they heard him. He didn't even address himself to God, but God also heard him. Job just cried out in anguish. Throughout chapter 3, Job continued this anguished cry, and he asked some of those why questions and said that if he had died at birth, he'd be at rest. If his mother had miscarried, he'd be at rest. He asked why he should have life when all he had to look forward to was more suffering. What was the point of it all? It's telling that in the book of Genesis, when we read of creation, we find that creation starts with light and ends with rest. Job says his existence starts with darkness and ends with no rest, because something had gone terribly wrong. The end of chapter 3, I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest, but only turmoil. Job's anguished cry ends and he lapsed back into silence. I imagine his three friends looking at each other, wondering what to do, what to say. And finally, Eliphaz speaks. He began tentatively because of Job's outburst, and it probably shocked him. Now, I'm willing to cut Eliphaz some slack here because I want to believe that he had Job's best interest at heart, that he truly wanted to be a help to Job, but he was not. He in no way became helpful to Job in what he said. Eliphaz started by reminding Job of all of the great and supportive things that he had said to other people while they were suffering, all the great and supportive things that he had done for others. So why now, given all of that, why was Job in such despair because he was suffering now? Was the faith that he expressed to all those others, was it not as strong as it appeared to be? Eliphaz went on to give three answers to Job's suffering. And the first is a common belief that there is a reliable moral order that says good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. What goes around comes around. At this point, he made no illusions as to what this would mean for Job, to whom bad things were happening. Eliphaz went on and said that he had been given a secret revelation that said life is problematic and it is beyond the capacity of human beings to truly understand, so Job should just let it go. And lastly, Eliphaz's third answer to the problem of suffering went back to the first point, saying that there is a strong moral order, that good comes to the good and the bad comes to the evil. Just be patient and wait it out, and it will all work out in the end. Now, this is just the beginning of the first cycle, but we've got more than enough stuff to be going on with here. I began by asking you how you are with tears, how comfortable you are with your own tears. Job is a powerful example to us of dealing with our own suffering. In the first two chapters, Job made two profound confessions of faith and trust in God, even in the midst of his suffering. And here we find Job, after 7 days of silent agony, crying out in pain from the depth of his soul. Now, some Christians have the impression that if we have faith, then we should never be weak. We should never show signs of weakness, even to ourselves. We're supposed to have it all together all of the time. And in an understanding like that, it says that tears lack trust in God. And tears show a weakness of faith. After all, did the Apostle Paul not say that we are supposed to rejoice in our suffering? Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do? Not even close. Paul spoke about the grace that God gives us to see us through suffering and the growth that can come to our faith through suffering. He did not say that we are to celebrate pain. Job's example here is profound. Job showed faithfulness in confessing his trust in God, even in his suffering. And Job showed incredible honesty in the midst of his suffering. Job said he continued to trust God even when everything had happened to him. And Job was silent when he needed to be silent, and Job cried out when he needed to cry out. And Job said some hard things, cursing his own existence. But it was gut-wrenchingly true and honest. Now, I am saying honesty is a good thing in our suffering. I am not saying our suffering, our grief, our despair is a place that we are to remain. It is a place we all go through, but we are not to live in the midst of our grief, not to live in the midst of our despair. But God wants our honesty. Our Lord knows us through and through. Pretending that we have it all together may fool others. We may even be able to fool ourselves for a time, but we will not ever fool God. He knows us too well. In the face of our own suffering, in the face of our own despair, we need to be honest. To be honest with ourselves and to be honest with God. And we may even risk being honest with brothers and sisters in Jesus. You see, tears are honest. Tears are good. Now, as I was planning this series, there was a real pull, a real felt need to address the issue of mental illness because of the book of Job. Job was in despair, which is not necessarily depression, but it can become depression. Mental illnesses are so prevalent in our society today and yet still really stigmatized. How many people with depression, one of the most common forms of mental illness, how many people with depression have heard some of the following? You just need to get over it. Snap out of it. You just have to try harder. Things could be worse. You think you've got it bad. And even in the church, you just have to have more faith. You just have to trust God more. Now, would we say any of those things to someone with a broken arm? You just have to get over it. You just have to try harder. You just have to have more faith. Would we say any of those things to someone with diabetes? Snap out of it. Things could be worse. You just have to trust God more. No, we wouldn't say any of those things to someone who had a physical injury or a physical illness. But mental illnesses are real illnesses, as real as a broken arm, as real as diabetes, and they need to be treated as much as a broken arm and as much as diabetes. And sure, there are illnesses that we don't treat, a cold or a flu. We treat the symptoms, and that's all. But if a flu goes on for a couple of months, we are all at the doctor. Depression is just one of the more common mental illnesses. There are anxiety disorders, bipolar disorders, eating disorders, schizophrenia, personality disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and a number of others. One of the cardinal rules of pastoral counseling and pastoral care and even pastoral conversation is not to insert your own story into the pastoral conversation. You are there to care for the other, so you keep your own stuff to yourself. The one exception is if self-disclosure is a help to the person you are caring for and you're not doing it for yourself. That's kind of the one exception that can be made. Well, I'm not doing this for myself. I have an anxiety disorder. even though I don't see myself as a worrier, started in 2001 in Cambodia. Imagine that. I was pretty profoundly distressed by the poverty that I saw there. Coming home, real reverse culture shock, terrible reverse culture shock. But that kind of settled down and life was good. Then in 2003, we were back in Cambodia and doing our adoption process, and the anxiety became really acute. And so since 2003, on and off, I have been treated for anxiety. And yes, for those who are curious, I am currently on medication for anxiety. And I share this not to get sympathy, because I don't need it. I'm good. Life is great. But I share it to encourage you. If you are suffering or struggling with a mental illness, or think you might be, then seek help. Help is available, no matter what people around you might or might not say. And for everyone else, and that's a smaller group in a room like this than we would all think so, for everyone else, perhaps this is just a reminder that we don't always know what everybody is going through wherever they are in life. A friend out west would always say, you never know what's behind door number two. And that's true. We don't know what's behind each other's door number two. If you need it, get help. Back to Job. We also began this message asking how comfortable you are with other people's tears. Job is not just a powerful example on how to deal with our own tears, but to deal with other people's tears as well. Eliphaz was just wrong. That good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. Good and bad happen to everyone. We're going to look at that a little more next week. He was also wrong that we shouldn't try to understand. It doesn't mean that we will find an answer that we're comfortable with or happy with, but we should always strive to understand. God put his trust and his hope in Job when God was challenged about Job's faith. Allow that one to sink in a little bit. God put his faith in Job. God puts his faith in us. God puts his faith in you. So, yeah, it's important for us to try and work through all of this stuff and figure it out. So we see that Eliphaz was wrong in just about everything he said. He didn't do it to be cruel or to cause problems. He honestly thought he was helping. Basically, what Eliphaz did is he offered platitudes. Platitudes are sayings with a kernel of truth that are not helpful. Platitudes are shallow answers to deep questions. Please do not offer shallow answers to deep questions when someone is suffering. Offering platitudes to one who is suffering is worse than doing nothing, because it dismisses the depth of their pain, and so in a way it dismisses them. A friend whose mother died when he was about 10 years old told me that following the funeral, an elder of the church came up to him and said, "God must have needed your mother more than you did." Now, I can only assume, and Peter could only assume, that he was trying to help him understand why his mom had died. All he accomplished was to hurt this boy deeply and to mess up his mind in terms of who God is. Don't give shallow answers to deep questions. The greatest help that Eliphaz gave to Job was when he arrived and just sat with his friend in silence. That was helpful. And we shouldn't see that as passivity. It wasn't the same as Eliphaz staying at home and doing nothing. He was there with him, spending time with him, committed to be with him and to be silent with him. It's also not the same as standing there looking at the one who's suffering as if you're waiting for them to say something. I've seen that in hospitals way too much, where a visitor comes in, stands over the bed, and just looks at the person in the bed. And that is exhausting for the person in the bed. And it can be hurtful. The three friends went to Job because they wanted to help. And they sat with him, and they were silent with him. And that was the best help any of them gave him, at least to this point. Silent presence in the face of suffering is often the greatest gift we can give someone who is struggling. So how are you with tears? Your own tears? The tears of others? How are you with tears? Let's pray together. Our God, we thank you that you are with us, that you are always with us. When we know it and we experience it, and when we don't know it, we don't experience and we even doubt it. We thank you that you are with us even in the silence. And we thank you that you have provided people who love us and care about us, who come and sit with us, who are with us, who encourage us, who pray for us. We thank you, Lord, for the way you bless us through people that you have placed in our lives, through the people of the church. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us also to be there for each other, to be the ones who go and sit in silence, who express care and compassion and share your love. Help us to take the time to be there for each other. And Lord, we pray for those who struggle with mental illness, diagnosed or not. We pray for those who feel alone because of it, because for those who feel misunderstood because of it, for those who are kept at a distance because of it. We pray for your grace and your healing and your hope for those who struggle. And we pray for understanding for those who want to help. God, for this world, we continue to pray for Australia. We thank you for the rains that have started, and we pray for more rain. We pray for those on the east coast of Newfoundland who have suffered from a horrendous storm. We pray for safety and security of person for the people in Newfoundland. And Lord, we pray for the city of Ottawa. This week that churches are coming together to pray for our city, we pray that that would have a profound impact upon Ottawa. And Lord, we pray that you would be with those of St. Paul's who are in need and have particular need this day. We pray for Clive and Terry's son, Ben, that you would bless him and see him through this week, and bless Clive and Terry to be a help to Ben. We pray for Simon that you would provide. We pray that you would bless each and every one of us that has needs for you in special ways. Bless us, Lord, with your grace, that we might be gracious people. Bless us with your love, that we would be loving people. Bless us with your presence, that we might be present for others. We pray all of this in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue to give honor to God and to worship him as we present to him our tithes and our offerings. Father, we give you thanks and praise for all you give to us day by day, for all you have given to us in Jesus. And we bring these gifts to you, gifts of ourselves, gifts of our money, our time, our talents, all offered to you to use for your glory and the work of your kingdom. We offer them and pray this in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
my brothers and sisters, let's be present for each other and with each other, even if it means silence. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.